Chase Sapphire Preferred and Chase Sapphire Reserve. Two cards with very similar names, but very different benefits. Listen in as we take a deep dive into both and help you decide which one makes the most sense for your situation. Welcome to Points Talk with the Travel Mom Squad. We are three moms who've discovered how to leverage credit card welcome offers to get hundreds of thousands of dollars of travel expenses for nearly free. We've used credit card points and miles to take vacations to places like Hawaii, Paris, Greece, Maldives, Japan, and so much more. And the best part? We each still have 800 plus credit scores. Imagine being able to take the vacation of your dreams for nearly free. It's totally possible, and we're here to show you how. Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Pam, Alex's mom.
And I'm Jess. Let's talk points. It is no secret that Chase Ultimate Rewards are our favorite transferable points currency, and we often recommend the Chase Sapphire Preferred as the best beginner card. But depending on your situation, the Sapphire Reserve may actually make more sense. So today we are going to get all into the details of both cards, the similarities, the differences, and hopefully by the end of this episode, you'll have a better idea of which one makes more sense for your situation. So Pam is going to kick it off with just kind of a high-level overview of the cards and their standard offers.
So one of the most important things is that you can only have one or the other. You can't hold both the Chase Sapphire Preferred and the Chase Sapphire Reserve, just one. And so you need to pick which one works out best for you. Both of them allow you to transfer directly to airline and hotel transfer partners like Hyatt, Southwest, and United. I'd say those are probably the three that we transfer to the most. If you know us at all, you know that we usually save almost all of our ultimate rewards and transfer into Hyatt hotels because that's the preferred way that we like to stay. And then we will use other currencies for a lot of our airline transfers. So let's talk a little bit about the Sapphire Preferred. That is the one that we probably 90% recommend to beginners. The standard offer on that is 60,000 points after spending $4,000 in 3 months. It has a $95 annual fee that is offset by a $50 annual hotel credit. For a hotel stay, that has to be booked through the Chase Travel Portal. So that makes it be like, you know, only $45 as long as you're using that. And then there's the Chase Sapphire Reserve. The standard offer on that is, again, 60K points after spending 4K in 3 months, but it has a $550 annual fee. And I think that's probably the main reason why we recommend the Chase Sapphire Preferred over the Reserve. Now, it does come with a $300 annual travel credit, so that basically brings it down to a $250 annual fee. That travel credit is really easy to use. You just use the card for travel expenses, and you get a statement credit. So it's very easy to use, and yes, Jess.
I do, and I think the Sapphire Reserve travel credit is the easiest to redeem of any of the travel credits on any of the cards. And so, like you said, with the Sapphire Preferred, to get that $50 hotel credit, you do have to book through the Chase Travel Portal. I tend to use those. Like, we every year for Thanksgiving, we go visit family in Louisiana. There's not a Hyatt near where we stay. And so I will save that. And every year I'll just book a Hilton or a Marriott cheap night and get my $50 annual travel credit that way, but it is a little bit more effort to redeem. Whereas the $300 travel credit, like you said, you just charge a flight, you charge a rental car, you charge a hotel stay, and you just get that $300 as a statement credit. And so there's nothing you have to do. Like with the Venture X, that one also has a $300 travel credit, but you have to redeem it through the Capital One Travel Portal. With the Amex Platinum cards, you have to get that the $200 airline credit is like an incidental credit. Then you have to jump through all these hoops to redeem it. So as far as travel credits go, all the other banks could learn something from Chase when it comes to this $300 annual travel credit.
I totally agree with that. In fact, I don't think I've ever used my $50 annual hotel credit on my Sapphire Preferred. I just forget about it. And yeah. So it's like, doesn't even help me. I need to remember to use that sometimes. But usually I have a free hotel night that I can use. And so I just don't even think about it. So Alex, that's the basics. What are the big differences between the cards?
So with the Chase Sapphire Preferred, you're going to get 2x on travel. So for every dollar you spend on travel, you're going to get 2 points. With the Chase Sapphire Reserve, you're going to get 3x. So if you spend a ton on travel, which we don't really spend a ton on travel because we're using points. But if you are putting a lot on travel, like when I do pay cash for a flight, I always put it on my Sapphire Preferred card because they come with really good travel benefits. And so when you do that, you know, it's nice to get an extra point for those travel expenses if you have the reserve. The Chase Sapphire Preferred, the points are worth 1.25 cents when you redeem them in the Chase portal. If you have the reserve card, they're worth 1.5 cents. So if you're doing a lot of redeeming points in the portal, then the reserve probably makes a little more sense. If you follow us long enough, then, you know, we'll hopefully have learned how to transfer points, as that's where you get the most value. But if you're somebody who, oh, I'm booking more boutique hotels or things like that, and you're booking in the portal more, then, you know, getting that extra 0.25 cent per point is nice with the reserve. The big thing with the reserve is it comes with lounge access. And so you get priority pass lounge access. So, you know, that's bunches of lounges throughout the world. You know, as we've talked before, we have a whole episode dedicated to airport lounges. Priority pass is kind of hit and miss. But with the reserve, they have had the restaurant access, which has been a really good perk for that card where, you know, there's select airport restaurants. You can get a $28 credit. You can have that for up to 2 people, so $56 towards food at a restaurant. That has been a very high selling point for this card because it's one of the few credit cards with priority pass access that include restaurants. But unfortunately, on July 1st, that benefit's going away. You're not going to be able to access the restaurants anymore. So that's a bummer for this card. You also get access to Sapphire lounges, which there's not very many of right now. I think there's maybe, I want to say like 3, but don't quote me on that. There's not very many. The Chase Sapphire Reserve also comes with a $100 global entry or TSA pre-check credit. So, you know, with that $300 credit, using the global entry, you know, you're getting that annual fee down to about $50, which if you're using that hotel benefit on the Sapphire Preferred, you're getting that annual fee to $45. So if you're using all the benefits from either of these cards, you're really going to bring that annual fee down to about the same. It just kind of depends, which we'll compare them a little bit more and talk a little bit more about what to consider when you're trying to figure out which one to get in here in a little bit. But let's talk for a second about getting a Sapphire card again. So a lot of people worry, you know, how do you keep getting sign-up bonuses? How do you keep getting points? Aren't you going to run out? And one of our favorite things about Chase is you can get their cards again. The Sapphire cards, though, do have the most strict rules of any of the Chase credit cards. So once you open any Sapphire card, you then have to wait 48 months from when you received that welcome offer to be able to apply again. So once it's been 48 months, you can then either downgrade. So for example, you could downgrade your Sapphire Preferred to a Freedom card, or you could cancel your card and then reapply. So the important thing to note here is if you downgrade your card, you want to wait about 2 weeks before you reapply. If you cancel your card, you're going to need to wait at least 30 days before you reapply. So yeah, that's kind of the rules about getting the cards again. Another interesting thing is, let's say you open the Sapphire Preferred and then you decide you've had the card for a year and you're thinking, you know, I actually really, really would like the benefits that come with the reserve. You can call Chase and upgrade to the reserve and they'll make that change for you. Vice versa, if you have the reserve and you're thinking, oh, those annual fees really high, I'd rather just have the preferred. You can downgrade after a year to the preferred. And then, you know, that doesn't reset your 48 months or anything. You know, you would then have another 3 years till you could, you know, cancel or downgrade to a Freedom and then get it again. So the biggest thing here to note, though, is 48 months from when you received your welcome offer before you're eligible to reapply. And you can't have the card anymore if you want to get it again. So if you're like, I know myself, I'm eligible to get one again. And so I might be doing that here soon. I know Jess's husband, Ted, he's eligible for one again soon. So, you know, when you first get it, you think, oh, 48 months, that's going to be forever. But, you know, time keeps ticking and it gets here before you know it.
Yeah, I'm counting down to when. Yeah, I think he's eligible now. So we will be applying for that one pretty soon here. If you decide to apply for a Sapphire Preferred or a Sapphire Reserve after listening to today's episode, we would appreciate it so much if you would use our affiliate links. They're a great way to support us at no additional cost to you. Application is exactly the same as if you were to Google the card and find it on Chase's website. So like we said, no additional cost to you. We will put a link to both cards in the show notes, and we really appreciate your support so much. All right, so now let's get into some considerations when deciding which card to apply for. And then Alex and Pam, I'm going to quiz you at the end of this and see which one, see if you agree with me, see if you have additional thoughts, see if you feel differently than I do, and maybe there's a different one you would apply for. But for me, the considerations come down to, okay, how frequently do you travel? I sort of view the Sapphire Reserve as, it's obviously a more premium version of the Sapphire Preferred, and I feel like it's more suited to people who are frequent travelers. So if you only travel once a year, once or twice a year, probably the Sapphire Preferred is going to make more sense for you. We travel a lot because it's our job. We're traveling usually at least once a month. And so there could be a case where the reserve could make sense for us. Like Alex said, we do use points and miles for a lot of our expenses, but not all. There are certain things that code as travel. Like I rarely use points and miles for rental cars. So that's an example where those are some big expenses I could put on a reserve and get 3x. All transportation counts as travel. And so if you're taking subways, buses, trains, ferries, that's going to count as travel. If you're a frequent cruiser, cruises are another thing that I do not use points and miles to cover, but that can be a big expense. And getting 3x on a cruise can make a big difference versus getting 2x. And so you're going to want to look at your spending habits, especially when it comes to travel. Like I said, that $300 travel credit, super easy to redeem. And so you're effectively immediately bringing that annual fee down to $250 on that card. Another thing I think of is lounge access is a big factor for me, but I currently have the Priority Pass lounge access with restaurant benefits from my Venture X business card. And so that annual fee is $395. I kind of look at it as I can have the Venture X business card, I can get Priority Pass access, including restaurants from that card, and I can have the Chase Sapphire Preferred. And both of those annual fees together, $395 for one, $95 for another, is still less than the single annual fee of $550 on the reserve. So I, at the current moment, sort of prefer that combo of the Venture X business card and the Sapphire Preferred over the Sapphire Reserve. That's just kind of how I like to think through it. If Chase really ups their lounge game, like Alex said, they only currently have a handful of the Sapphire lounges. But Pam actually asked recently in our Facebook group about what is your favorite lounge you've ever visited? And dozens of people said the Sapphire Lounge in Boston was their favorite.
It's nice. I've been to it and it's a really nice lounge.
If I lived in Boston, I would be very tempted to get the Reserve instead of the Preferred. I think they also have lounges, Sapphire lounges at JFK and LaGuardia now. And so I think one is coming to Las Vegas soon. So if my home airport had a Sapphire lounge, I would probably make the switch to the Reserve because those Chase lounges look really, really nice. So as they step up their footprint with lounges, I could be swayed to opening up that Reserve. So another thing is, like Alex said, do you redeem your points in the travel portal? We mostly transfer our points out, so this is not really a factor for us, but a lot of people just like the simplicity of redeeming their points in the portal. You don't have to think about it. You just log in. It's like using Expedia. You just log in, you do your search, you apply your points, and you're done. There's no comparing. There's no running searches. There's no, you know, looking at airline alliances. So for a lot of people, the time saved from having to do all those different searches is worth it to maybe get a little bit less value by just booking straight through the portal. If you are one of those people, it could make a real difference in which card you want to apply for, because getting 1.5 cents per point value is pretty significant instead of the 1.25 cents when you're talking about thousands and thousands of points. So like I said, we transfer out 99% of our points. This doesn't really factor into the equation for us, but for you, it may move the needle one way or another a little more. Everything I've said so far is all assuming that the offers are what they are now. So currently the welcome offers are exactly the same. It's 60,000 points after spending $4,000 in 3 months. That is what the offers are at the time of recording. When this podcast episode comes out, they may be different. If to me, welcome offers are the most important factor when I'm determining which card to apply for. If the reserve had a higher welcome offer than the preferred, I would apply for the reserve. If the preferred had a higher welcome offer than the reserve, I would apply for the preferred. So it's just going to really depend on what the offers are at the time that you go to apply. I value Chase points really highly. So even if the reserve welcome offer was just 10,000 points more, that's enough for me to say, okay, that card is worth more to me than the other one. So all that being said, Pam, I'm curious to know what you agree with what I said, what you disagree with. If you were to open one of them today, which one you would choose?
If I was to open one today, I would still choose the Chase Sapphire Preferred. And again, they both have the same offer. I 100% agree with you. If the Chase Sapphire Reserve had a higher offer, even like you said, of only 10,000, I would go for that. And then after a year, I would downgrade to the Chase Sapphire Preferred. I don't see any reason for me to have the Chase Sapphire Reserve at this point, because just like you said, I have other cards that cover my airport lounges. And so it doesn't really do anything for me to pay that extra money and an annual fee. Everything you said, I 100% agree with. What about you, Alex?
Okay, so I think the part that really stuck with me and where I completely 100% agree with you is when you think about having the combination of the Venture X with the Sapphire Preferred. For me, I really value the Venture X, and I don't see the point of having both of those cards because they are fairly similar. I travel more through Denver and they have a Capital One lounge there, so it makes more sense for me. I also just feel like I just really like my Venture X and getting 2X on all my purchases without having to think about it. You know, it is really nice to get 3X on travel with the Sapphire Reserve, but for all a bunch of the other things, it's, you know, the Venture X is going to beat it in a bunch of other categories. And I also just like diversifying my points a little bit because the Venture X has some transfer partners that Chase doesn't have. You know, because I do keep my Venture X as a card that I do spend on pretty regularly. Not all the time. I'm usually working on a minimum spend. But if I'm not, it's a card that has a spot in my wallet all the time. And so for me, I have other cards that I don't even use my Chase Sapphire Preferred a ton. I use my, you know, my Freedom Unlimited or my Freedom Flex a little bit more than my Sapphire Preferred because they have similar earning categories with, you know, restaurants and some of those things. So I don't really feel the need to have another card in my wallet that has a $550 annual fee. And the benefits are good. So I just don't see the point of having a Venture X and a Sapphire Reserve. And I really like my Venture X. And so for that reason, I am not going to do the reserve. But like you said, if the offer was higher, for a year, I would have both cards and then I would downgrade to the preferred. But my long-term game plan is to hang on to my preferred. Only way I would probably change that is if Salt Lake City got a Sapphire Lounge. And I don't see that happening. So I don't know. Our airport is expanding. So fingers crossed. But I heard our newest lounge is going to be United Club. And I'm like, United Club? That doesn't do me any good.
Well, it's funny. Because, so there is nothing. There's not a Capital One lounge or a Sapphire Lounge in Houston. I'm hoping that changes. We do have a Centurion Lounge, but I'm sort of hoping for a Sapphire Lounge. If we got a Sapphire Lounge in Houston, I would 100% upgrade or open the Reserve when it came time. They do have a Sapphire Terrace in Austin, which I think is funny because Austin is really hot, just like Houston is. And I'm like, how many people are really taking advantage of this terrace in Texas? Like, that may not have, maybe you should have put the terrace in Boston, you know, although in the winter there, I assume no one would want to be outside either. But it just seemed like a funny place to put a terrace. I usually don't fly through Austin because it's such a short drive, but I kind of do want to fly through there just so I can go check out the Sapphire Terrace and see what it's all about.
Yeah, I walked by it the other day because it's right by the Delta Sky Club, but it wasn't open. It has different hours. And so I went to the Delta Sky Club instead using my Amex Platinum card. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, I already have a VentureX and a Platinum business. And that right there's a lot of annual fees. And yeah. So to get another high annual fee card. And I think too, where you say like, oh, I have the VentureX and the Chase Sapphire Preferred, and it's still cheaper, those two combined, than the Reserve, that kind of put the nail in the coffin for me.
So I hope you see that you really can't go wrong with either the Chase Sapphire Preferred or the Chase Sapphire Reserve. Both earn our favorite type of points and both transfer to our favorite hotel brand, Hyatt. For this reason, we'll always have one of the two in our wallet. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and share the episode with a friend. Thanks so much for your support.
Thanks so much for listening to Points Talk with the Travel Mom Squad. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button from wherever you're listening so you never miss an episode. Want to start jet setting even faster? Follow the links in the show notes to learn about everything we discussed in today's episode. And to stay connected and follow along, follow us on Instagram at Travel Mom Squad. We can't wait to see where in the world Points and Miles take you.